Good morning. Today I will be reading Galatians 5, verses 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Thank you, Adelaide, for reading a word to us this morning. Another beautiful morning. Wow. We're getting Indian summer in spades this year, and I'm liking it. I'm liking it. This is our time of praise and worship. If you would like to stand, please do so now. We'll lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each one. The strife will not be long. The day, the noise of battle, the next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Amen. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, because I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want
same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. And I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Nothing can stand against. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turned his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought
brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my
morning. How is everybody this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Jaden. I like that, Joel. See, you're right. It's nice to have somebody. That's right. That's right. Well, this morning, as we come to a time of communion, and we're going to open our hearts and open our minds in communion meditation, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about symbolism and seeing signs of things that symbolize something. And I did a communion meditation, I don't know, it's been some years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And it was based on symbolism. And I, of course, had notes on my iPad, and sometimes that's nice, but sometimes it's better if you can just do it from the heart. And that's what I chose to do this morning. And yesterday I got to spend a lot of time in nature and seeing things, and we were riding four-wheelers over in eastern Ohio, clear over right on the Ohio River. There was many times we stopped at overlooks of the Ohio River, and it was just absolutely beautiful, breathtaking to see some of the sights that we got to see. And then little things along the way that that tied into what I was wanting to talk about this morning. And talking about symbolism, and I don't know if it's just me, but I'm hoping some of you guys have noticed it. I feel like this year, our leaves on our trees have had more vibrant colors than most years. I've noticed the oranges and the yellows and the reds are just extreme this year. Now, I know we've lost a lot of our leaves due to our previous week's entire rain. We had rain 7 days in a row, I think, at one point, and a lot of wind, and we lost a lot of our leaves, but there is still a lot of leaves on the trees that are just absolutely vibrant. And I saw that yesterday, and I saw, mountainsides that were just absolutely gorgeous. And I thought, that's so neat. Here these leaves are actually dying, but even in their death, they're gorgeous. And then they fall, and they protect the soil then throughout the winter as we have harsh months, and they have a job. And then come spring, there's the rebirth, and we have beautiful green leaves that come on and buds, and everything just comes alive again. And then Michelle and I are off the four-wheeler, and we're walking, and I pointed out to her, I said, "Hey, look at these little trees over here." There were trees about as big around as my forearm, and they had scrapes on them. And Joel, what are those?
Deer.
Yeah, they're deer scrapes. So to me, those are symbolizing that there's life in those woods. And I even thought about that too. I thought, here's a woods where you don't see anything, But those are symbols that there's life in those woods, and there's deer life coming through, and there's fresh markings that they've rubbed their antlers on the tree, and it's neat to see that they've left those symbols on the trees, and they do it for multiple reasons, and I'm not going to get into all those reasons why they do it, but it's symbolizing that we know that there's life there. And that kind of leads us to some of the other symbols that we use as Christians. I think one of my favorite symbols is the rainbow. And whenever I know that there's going to be a rainbow, I can always tell you that if I go out on my front porch and I look to the right, which is back to the east from my porch, I can always see this gorgeous rainbow. And sometimes we even get those double rainbows. And man, it's awesome to see that, because we know as Christians that that's our symbolism that God, you know, he'll never flood the earth again. But it's not just that. It's symbolism that he won't desert us. He won't give up on us. He's always there for us, even through horrible, hard times. And then that leads us to the cross. And the cross is a symbol that, you know, here just in our sanctuary, in the Lord's house, you can see the cross on our lights. You see it on the front of this pulpit. You can see it on the front of the communion table. I know there's one that hangs right back here on the top of our flagpole. So it's everywhere, which means it's really important to all of us that are lovers of Christ. Because we know that that cross was a tool that was used to fulfill something. And it was to fulfill what needed to be done. It needed to pay for our sins, that we could spend eternity in heaven. And that's what brings us to the table. And then we have those symbols that we use at the table. And that's the bread. We choose to use the bread, and we choose to use the grape juice. And those are the ultimate symbols to me. Those are the symbols that Jesus is, you know, he went to the cross, he was tortured, and he was ridiculed, and he died on the cross. But not only that, he took on all of our sins. He paid the price, and he paid the price not just for you or for me. He paid it for everything and everyone. And that is the ultimate sacrifice. And that's what we do here at the table. You know, we come forward, and we take that bread, and we take that juice, and we take it in 100% remembrance of exactly what Jesus did for us and what the purpose was. Let's, before we come up to the table and partake of those symbols, let's all stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to come into your house each and every Sunday and to praise your name freely without persecution, Lord. And we are so grateful of the time when we can come to your table and we can gather around it knowing that you are right there with us. And we're doing it in remembrance of what you did on Calvary for us. As we take the bread and we take the juice, we remember that sacrifice that you was made. We remember the flesh that was torn and the blood that was shed, that it would cover the sins of the entire world. Lord, what we ever did to earn your love, I will never know, but we are thankful for it. We accept the gift of grace, and we know that because of that, we get to spend eternity with you. Lord, as we come up to this table, we just ask that you would allow us to open our hearts and open our minds and just let them be examined, and just let the sin that we have in our lives to leave, and to let the Holy Spirit soften us, make us exactly like you, that we can be a beacon of light to each and every person that we come into contact with throughout our workplaces and our schools, and that they would see the joy in our heart is there because of you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'm going to attempt to sing Hold Me, Jesus. Sometimes my life just don't make sense at all. When the mountains look so big and my faith just seems so small. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? And I take up in the night and feel the dark. It's so hot inside my soul, I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than take what you give that I need. And I've beat my head against so many walls. I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. And the Salvation Army band's playing this hymn. And your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? You have been my King, my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
Alrighty, kids are welcome to go downstairs with Mary today for junior church. I'm pretty certain, if I asked everybody to raise their hand, if you've ever been in any kind of relationship with anybody, a friend relationship, family relationship, romantic relationship, marital relationship, you probably all raise your hands high, because we all have had relationships in life. If I've asked you to raise your hand, if you've ever had a relationship that's faltered, kind of fizzled out, probably all of us would raise our hand. One time or another in life, be it a friend relationship, a family relationship, a romantic relationship, marital relationship. For some reason, in human beings, relationships can start out real strong, and then just over time kind of fizzle out, lose the fire. Friends may separate because of moving across country. Maybe you don't get to see them as often, so you're not as close. When I was growing up, I lived very close to grandma and grandpa and my aunts and uncles and stuff, and I was very close to a lot of my family. And now, due to me living out of the state, I don't get to see them as often. So not that the love has disappeared, but the relationship is different and changed a little bit. I know in marriage relationships, those change all the time. From the day you said, I do, and you're on fire, and the passion is just there, and you just love that person, that love changes over the years. Many times for the better. Some of you can say, you know, I love my spouse more today than I did 30 years ago or however long it was for you. And, you know, and then some of us, if we take an honest look at our life or an honest look at our marriage or whatever, you can say, you know what, that love has just kind of fizzled away. You know, I like her or I like him. I don't really, that love isn't there anymore. Some of us can say, I love him or love her. I just don't like him anymore. And I've heard that before, too. And that goes with friendships as well and even in the church and stuff like that. You know, relationships go up and down, up and down, up and down. And so I guess my question I want to ask this morning is why do relationships falter? But we're going to concentrate mostly on our relationship with Jesus and where we are with him today. You know, being in ministry, sometimes I have the task of dealing with people's problems. I end up being in people's homes, especially, you know, I get to see the best of the best. I get to go and perform the weddings when people are just absolutely in love with each other. I get to baptize people when they are on fire for Jesus and they just want to give everything to him. And they can't wait to go conquer the world in Jesus' name and tell everybody about their Savior. And then I get to see the worst of the worst of people as well. I get to, part of my ministry, part of my job is to meet people where they are in life. And sometimes that's the bottom of the barrel. Sometimes people just have reached the bottom of the barrel. They're because of addiction, because of life circumstances or wrong choices in life. But sadly, some of the worst problems I've seen is domestic violence in people's homes. A home that was one time filled with love, one time filled with compassion, one time filled with joy. You have two people that have come together and decided to spend the rest of their lives together. They were happy. They were joyful. They brought life towards one another and very vibrant. And then somewhere between getting married and to the day the police had to show up to their house because they were beating each other up, something horrific happened in between that time. What causes a relationship to fizzle to the point where we're in our home, police are called, mom and dad are beating each other up, and then we get to the point after divorce, parents have to exchange their children at the police department. I've witnessed that before in ministry. Why do these relationships falter when they start out so strong? Nobody marries anybody hating that person on the day of their wedding. I would venture to say. I'm guessing none of you that married or got into a relationship just couldn't stand to look at your spouse on your wedding day. No, you probably thought he was the most handsome man on the planet. She was the most beautiful woman in the world, inside and out. Brought you joy, brought you happiness, put a sparkle in your eye. And you couldn't wait to spend the rest of your life with her. And then something happens. I don't know whether kids come and wear you out, or jobs come and go, life situations happen, and sometimes things fizzle. Why does that exact same thing happen when we walk with the Lord? Why does our walk with God turn like that? To the point where we're probably not even communicating with him on a daily basis, to the point where we blame him for a lot of life choices that we may probably have made. We blame him for loss. We get angry with him, forgetting the day that we stood in front of the world and said, "This is my God. This is what he did for me." We just talked about it. We just sang about all the many things Jesus has done for us. He saved me from eternal damnation from God. He brought me into a life renewed in him, offered me grace, offered me mercy, compassion, forgiveness. And somehow along the walk, we forget about that. And other things in life become more important. Going back to human relationships or our relationship with the Lord, I think it's very easy. We can give our opinion a lot of times. We can say, well, it's due to a lack of interest. I've lost interest in that person, or I've even lost interest in God. Or you can say it's a lack of commitment, no longer committed to that person, no longer committed to God. You can say there's a lack of love, period. The love just isn't there anymore. And you know, the reason could be all of these things, or it really could be none of those things, of why relationships falter. The bottom line is the relationship has lost its passion. If you are finding yourself in a place today where you've kind of just walked away from God, or maybe not even walked away from God, but he really hasn't been number one in your life for a while, and you find yourself questioning him, you find yourself doubting him, or maybe find yourself not even thinking about him at all throughout the week, maybe just getting your little fix on him on Sunday mornings. The bottom line is we have lost our passion with God. I'd like to define passion first. Passion is defined as a powerful emotion or appetite. Passion is a powerful emotion or appetite. The problem with passion being strictly emotional is that our emotions can change day to day. If you can be very passionate about something, but the moment a life situation happens, our mood's going to change. The way we look at that is going to change. You know, I used to really, really like baseball growing up. When I was a kid, I ate, breathed, talked baseball, loved baseball. I collected baseball cards throughout the 80s and 90s. And then they had the baseball strike. A lot of you remember the baseball went on strike in the 90s. And I just lost my love for professional baseball. I'm like, you dirty birds. You get paid millions of dollars. And that's not good enough. I felt like my relationship with my Cubs, you know, had faltered. They didn't keep up their end of the deal. And you know, that happens with one-on-one relationships too. We feel like when a life situation happens, we think it's the other person's, they did something wrong. And so it is with God. If you're not passionate about God every single day, if you're not hungry for God every single day, emotions are going to change. The first time somebody important in your life dies, you're going to have many mixed emotions. Therefore, your emotions are going to change with God. And that's okay. God's okay with you being angry. He's okay with you being upset. Just as much as he's okay with you being happy, joyful, peaceful. Those are all human emotions that he's given us. But when we let those life circumstances change who we are with God, that's where we get in trouble. If things are going good, maybe our passion with God is strong at that point. Maybe if things are not so good, our passion for God becomes a little weak. When those life situations come where things aren't going our way, we try to fix them. And who do we usually rely on to fix those things? Us. Instead of going right to our knees, remembering the one who has the power to do all things, remembering that we are in his hands, we are in his will, if we will just follow. But no, we forget about that. We start to panic. I've been there. I've done that. I'm a natural born panicker. My wife will tell you that. My kids will tell you that. Something's not right. I'll be driving down the road. If a car's making a noise I've never heard before, I freak out. And it could be nothing. So the problem with our passion depending on emotion is not good. And I think that happens a lot. Instead of being hungry or having an appetite. But if our passion is based on a strong appetite, that's a whole different story. I find it interesting that the dictionary defines it emotionally and with an appetite. I think when it comes to God and when it comes to our relationship, our passion depends on how hungry we are for what it is we are passionate about. It's kind of like eating a full meal. Even after eating a full meal, and you can be full to the gills to the point where I can't eat another bite or I'm going to burst. As soon as you put that fork down and you put that that plate in the dishwasher or the sink or whatever you do with your plate, we immediately begin to use up what we've consumed. Immediately. It doesn't matter how full you are, your body starts to consume that. You're burning up calories, you're burning up energy as soon as you quit. You're replenishing fat cells, as if I need fat cells to be replenished, but it happens. And your body starts emptying itself, starts using up what you just consumed. Whether we realize it or not, we've begun to regain our appetite at that point. Now, it may take several hours to really feel hungry and to get the growling and the gurgling going again. But from the second we stop eating, we start regaining our appetite again. Maybe not to the point of wanting to eat right away, but we are growing hungry till the next meal. Same way is with our walk with God. When we have a passion or an appetite for God, you make time. I had the privilege and the wonderful honor of attending Darrell Tingley's funeral this past week. And I was telling the guys at the men's breakfast yesterday, one of my favorite things that was mentioned about Darrell in his life was they mentioned that every single morning without fail, Sunday through Saturday, Darrell's routine was he would get in the kitchen, eat his breakfast, sit down at the dining room table, and read his Bible. Didn't matter what he had going on that day, no matter how busy the day was going to be, no matter how lousy the day before was with life circumstances, he began his day filling himself physically with breakfast and filling his spirit with the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God. That's a man who was hungry for God, who had an appetite for God, knowing full well he needed to feed on that, thirst for that every single day, or else the relationship would fizzle. When you have passion, you make time for God. When you have passion, you talk. When you have passion for somebody, you talk with them. Remember when you were dating your spouse for the first couple months, one of you probably didn't stop talking. For me, it was me. I couldn't get Mary to talk for the first couple of weeks. But we talk, and then into our dating relationship, Mary and I would stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, knowing full well we had 7:30 class the next morning, and we would just talk because we didn't want to hang up the phone. We talked a lot. Now there's days sometimes we both get home from work and we're lucky if we say hello between walking in the door and dinner being done. It just happens. We let that go, or the passion goes sometimes. With same thing with God. If you have a deep passion for your Heavenly Father, you're going to talk to Him all the time, regularly. You're going to let Him know what's bringing you joy, what's bringing you happiness. Let Him know your frustrations. Let Him know about your life circumstances that scare you. You also keep your commitments. When you're passionate about something, you keep your commitment. No matter what you're passionate about. If you're passionate about baseball, you're passionate about sewing, you're passionate about playing cards, passionate about gardening, you make sure that garden is right where it needs to be at all seasons. Right now, everybody's putting their gardens to bed for the winter, but there's preparation that needs to take place right now in order to have a good garden in the spring to start planting and stuff again. If you're passionate about gardening, you know everything about there is to know about gardening. You know about everything about the plants you're planting, when you need to plant them, when you need to harvest, how to take care of them, weed them properly. You know all that stuff, and you are committed to that. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we stand in front of the world. We say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe He is the Son of God. I'm going to make a commitment to make Him my Lord and Savior forever. I will bow down to His will. His will be my will. I will obey Him in all things. We are very passionate about that. But then somewhere down the road, we lose that commitment, and other things become more important. Somebody posted on Facebook, I don't remember who it was, I don't think it was from this church, but somebody posted on Facebook, I love the quote. It said something to do about, shouldn't church and God be the reason why we miss other stuff versus other stuff being the reason we miss church? Shouldn't church be the reason why we miss cards on Friday night, whatever? Shouldn't church be the reason we miss baseball, wrestling? Shouldn't church be the reason why we miss this family, whatever the case may be? But too often, and I've heard every single excuse in the last 25 years. I had a young lady actually tell me, she must have ran out of excuses. "I'm so sorry, Joel, I'm not going to be at church this Sunday. I twisted my ankle this week, and I don't want to get anybody sick at church." Really? After I thought I've heard it all. If you're not going to be committed, you're not going to be committed. And we can come up with every excuse in the book. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, Jesus wanted you, and he wanted all of you. He wanted a commitment from you. He wanted you to go where he's called you to go. He's wanted you to be who he's creating you to be when he made you new in him. He wants you to speak when he asks you to speak. He wants you to be brave when he asks you to be brave. And he wants you to be powerful when he calls you to be powerful. Oh, there goes the phone. And when you have a passion for God or anybody else or anything else, you show love. If you are passionate about God, you are going to show him your love. If just like anybody else, your friend, your spouse, your family member, when you love them and you're passionate about them, you're going to show, you're not going to tell them. I can tell anybody that I love them till I'm blue in the face. I can tell my wife that I love her till I'm blue in the face. It means nothing until I show her my love. And we're really good at showing our love at the beginning a lot of times. We like to lavish them with beautiful gifts. And we like to take them places. And we like to do things for them and help them do things. It's a way to show that we love them and appreciate them. And then somewhere down the road, we start to take that person for granted. And we stop showing that love, and we just kind of get into a routine. And it's very easy to fall into that with God, too, to just kind of get into a routine with God. I go through the motions of going to church every Sunday, singing the songs, taking communion, giving my offering, listening to a sermon. Sometimes I listen, sometimes I just tune out and put my time in, you know, at sermon time. Or are we at the edge of our seats? Just like I can picture Darl at the breakfast table. Hungry for what is God going to feed me today? What is God going to give me today through his Holy Spirit? When I open his scripture, what am I going to receive from God today? When I go to church this morning, how am I going to connect with God? How is our relationship going to blossom through worship, through the reading of his word, to joining him at the communion table? How is that going to enhance my relationship with him? Coming with great anticipation. Rather than, oh, I wonder what the preacher's going to wear today. I'm sure it won't match. What same old songs is Jonathan and Greg going to sing this Sunday? And, you know, just go through the same routine and just kind of lose your passion about what you're doing. We need to change our diet. I'm not talking our physical diet. Well, some of us need to change that. But we've been consuming the world's junk food long, long enough. We've been doing it a lot in 2020. I've heard more Christians being more passionate about two presidential candidates and talk more about two presidential candidates than they've talked or spoken the word of Jesus. More passionate about what's going on in government. And I'm not saying not to be concerned about those things. We certainly have a responsibility about that as Christians. But to be more passionate with that than speaking the name of Jesus and loving people in the name of Jesus, that's where we lose some of our passion. We start feeding on what the world is feeding us, whatever the case may be. and we lose our passion. We need a diet of passion every single day for several reasons. One, we were created to have a passion and an appetite for God. You were created for that. God put that in you, especially when he gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is just starting to preach his greatest sermon on the mountain to thousands of people. Right at the beginning, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." He is teaching the world how to have a relationship with God, what pleases God. He is sharing the mysteries. He's revealing the mysteries of God to the world at the Sermon on the Mount. And he begins his sermon, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That word blessed, when he says blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that word blessed in the Greek literally means happy and fulfilled. He is saying happy and fulfilled are those that hunger for Jesus and his ways. The world is going to offer you a lot of things to feel full. When you lose something, the world is going to offer you something to replace that inside. Jesus says, "You will never be full unless you hunger for me, unless you thirst for me." Blessed, fulfilled are those that are passionate for Jesus and his ways. Boy, we should put that right in the front of our refrigerator. Put that on our doorposts. Blessed and fulfilled are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus and his ways. How many things do we hunger for this week? Some of us are going to hunger for that paycheck that's going to come on Friday or whatever day you get paid. Can't wait for that day. Some of us are going to hunger for, you know, whatever night is game night. We look forward to that. And my family has that too. I told you we're addicted to this game called Catan. Don't buy it. It'll split your family. But I look forward to the days where I know that the family's going to get together and we're going to play that again. Have a good time. The world's offering us a lot of uglier stuff out there to fill ourselves with and to fill our time with. And don't get me wrong, we're supposed to spend time in the world. We're not supposed to hide from it. But we're not called to hunger for it. Jesus says, "I have everything you need. I have everything that you desire. I have everything to make you a life of joy, to have a life of peace. If you would just hunger for me." People run around searching for fulfillment in so many different ways and in so many different directions. The only thing that will ever truly fill us is Jesus. If you have an earthly relationship that's faltering, go back and focus on your relationship with Jesus. Be it a marital relationship, a friend relationship, a parent-child relationship, a brother-sister relationship, whatever the case may be, if that relationship is struggling, go back and focus on your relationship with Jesus before you try to fix anything and see what doesn't happen. Luke, the Apostle Luke, in his writings, he tells us, "Labor not for the meat that perishes, but the meat that endures forever." Why would we have passion and why would we hunger for anything that's going to die and leave someday? I'm talking about things, not people. We've been called to love people. But why would we run after so hard things that are just going to be taken away from us someday anyway? You were brought into this world completely naked without anything. Some of you were pretty and some of you were ugly, but you came with nothing. And let me tell you, you're going to leave this planet with nothing other than your relationship with Jesus Christ. You will not take anything on this earth with you. You will die and have nothing earthly to take but what you filled yourself spiritually with God, the treasure that you built up for yourself in God. So that's really quick. That's passion in a nutshell. But I wanted to remind us really quick to not get frustrated with the world, and we cannot expect the world to do something that we do not. I've been very frustrated watching the news lately, social media lately, Christians, non-Christians, the way they're acting in our environment with everything going on. But then I had to take a close look at me. How on earth can I expect the world to do something that I am not? We are telling the world that they need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Yet we fail to do that quite often. We like to spout it out to everybody that all your problems would disappear, life would go easier, if you would just have just give yourself to Jesus. Why aren't we doing that on a regular basis? How can we expect the world to do that if we're not doing that? We tell the world they need to commit to Jesus, yet we often fail in our commitments to Jesus, let alone to one another. I've got several friends in my life. I have good friends in my life. And too often I tell Mary, you know what? The one thing I can rely on for so-and-so is that I cannot rely on so-and-so. And they can be a good friend of mine. And I know I've let people down as well. Man, we serve a God who has never failed us. Why would we run after anything different? And why can't we stay committed to Him? He has stayed committed to us through everything. You think of how many times you've turned your back on God, how many times you failed God. He has stayed committed to you. Your forgiveness has never left. Your grace has never left. Your mercy has never left. All that stuff He's offered you has never gone away, despite of who we are and how we act towards one another sometimes. We tell the world that they need to acknowledge Jesus, yet we sometimes fail to acknowledge Him ourselves. It happens. We either lose courage, we don't want to get made fun of, we just don't feel like being persecuted that day, so we're just going to hide behind whatever we're going to hide behind and not acknowledge Him. If we are living a life of passion for Jesus, every conversation would have His name in it. Whether you're talking to somebody at Walmart, you're talking to somebody at the barbershop getting your hair cut, you're talking to your mechanic working on your car, who, no matter who you're talking to, somewhere in that conversation, the name of Jesus is going to be brought up. If you are that passionate about it. I know people I've got a friend that's passionate about basketball, and that's all that comes out of his mouth is basketball. Basketball, 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 to the point where I'm just exhausted with basketball, and I don't like basketball now when I'm talking to him. How awesome would it be if Christians got that excited about Jesus? Where all we could talk about is Jesus. This is what Jesus did for me yesterday. This is what Jesus is doing for me today. This is what Jesus has offered me. This is what Jesus has given me. This is what Jesus has sacrificed for me. All the things about Jesus. Our churches in America wouldn't be able to contain all the people if God's people were that passionate about Him. Again, it all boils down to our level of passion, our hunger and our appetite for the things of God. If we are not passionate about Jesus, we cannot expect the world to be. Don't get frustrated with the world out there that's protesting, that's picketing, that's doing whatever they're doing out there. When where is our passion for Jesus? How are we making changes in the world because of our walk with Jesus? Passion cannot be evident in just one area of our life. I'm going to finish with that. You cannot be passionate with just one area of your life. That's what's wrong right now. People get focused on one thing. Okay, I'm really passionate about weight loss, and I'm just going to focus everything on that, and I'm going to give it to God. God wants everything. He doesn't just want your physical body. He wants your body, soul, mind, strength, everything. Everything to Him. Everything to His glory. He wants us focused on Him. We love God as long as we can direct His path. Probably be a true statement for a lot of us. I'll love God and I'll follow God as long as I can direct the path instead of Him directing our path. Being passionate about following Him no matter where He sends, no matter who He tells us to speak to. Don't forget what Mark 12:30, I'm going to leave you with this morning. Don't forget what Mark 12:30 says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's my invitation this morning. If you need to get on your spiritual knees before your holy God, confess to Him that maybe you've lost a little bit of the passion for Him. Maybe you're not giving Him everything. Ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. May it start with you. Ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your church, in your community, in your workplace. Renew a passion for God. If you need to stand up with your family and grab them by the hands and pray together and say, you know what, we haven't been committed to God. Man, make that recommitment to God today. Be it here, at home, wherever. And say, God, I can do better. I have failed you in my commitment. I have lost my hunger. I've lost my thirst for you. I've tried to fill myself with other things. God, bring me back to you. Bring my love back to you. Bring my passion back to you. It all starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never done that before, we invite you to do that this morning. If you've never accepted the gift of grace and forgiveness from God, and have been saved by His mercy, we offer you to come forward this morning, proclaim to the world that you believe who He is. You believe He is the Son of God. You believe that He did what He did on the cross, and that He has the power to save you for all eternity. For the rest of us who have already done that, who have already raised Jesus our Lord and Savior, I invite all of us to humbly bow before God as we sing our invitation song. And just ask God, renew my passion for you. Renew my passion for you that you would receive more glory, more honor in my life. Would you stand and let's sing that together this morning.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen.
You may remain standing. We just